Well, hello. It is the Extreme Gaming Podcast. We are on episode 250. If we had time, we had a brass band and instruments and noisemakers and all that other kind of stuff, we would have went woohoo and, you know, 250. But it is rather amazing we got to 250. Maybe we'll have to do a special another day to celebrate. But yeah, that's already clapping. 250, October 17th, and like I had mentioned, and I'm GreyGamer25, and my co-host is...
Matt, also known as Irish Guardian, on Twitch, I was going to say, on streaming. There we go.
Irish Guardian everywhere, that's what he's known as.
That's it.
Or anything else that somebody calls him, you know.
That's him.
That's okay, So you've been having a good week, Matt, huh?
I'm very busy, but good week. Very busy. I didn't think it'd be this busy, but it's been busy. It's not even That's Christmas good. Yet.
Yeah. Been busy for me, too. I've been helping up the granddaughter and watching her because she was a little bit under the weather. And that takes, I love it. Takes a lot of energy out of you, though. But anyway, glad you all joined us again for the 250th here and hope you all out there join us for many more. I do want to... go ahead and get some of the paperwork, as I say, out of the way. Number one, if you're not a member of a Discord, what are you waiting for?
Why not?
You might as well. You already belong to 600 Discords. You can belong to one more.
Yeah.
In any case, it's discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. And of course, that's all one word. So discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. Check it out. If you forget that, just Google Extreme Gaming Podcast Discord. I'm sure it'll pop up somewhere. And please join us, because one of the things we do like is that if you want to join us and you want to talk to us about anything, whether that be, you know, obviously subject matter, gamings and so forth. And but we also talk a lot of other stuff. We talk about entertainment. We talk about sci-fi. We talk about some sports here and there. So yeah, anytime you want to join and talk to us about a lot of different things, you know, go ahead. We're always playing games, recommending games, helping people out that might have computer problems or something. So we'd love to see you in the Discord if you can and join up. And as you see, slowly we've been working on stuff in our Discord and making things look and appear better. And I noticed, Matt, when I'm looking at the E's, mine are right and yours are backwards again.
Oh, is it? Well, on my screen, both of them are fine, except for when I look at the stream itself on Twitch.
Mine exactly.
Are backwards. Yeah.
Well, I'm blabbing. If you get a chance, can you throw in the ones that go the other way just to see if that's going to make any difference? It's a long story, folks, but it's so weird that when we put like a background behind me where you see the E's, if you're watching on the video, I can put them. I have to put them backwards in order for them to be forwards. And then, unfortunately, Matt has to sometimes go opposite of what I'm doing for them to even appear, right? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
And we're always messing with it and stuff until we hopefully get it right. Yeah, see, now yours looks fine on the bright. No, it just there's no rhyme or reason to this. I'm looking at our main images, everybody out there that are hearing us, and I see my E's backwards, his E's forward. But when I look at the streams we're doing, everything looks wonderful. So I don't know. And I don't care anymore. Anyway, if you do want to submit any gaming or PC tech questions or heck, any questions you want, obviously, you know, you can do it on the chat while we're live. But also if you happen to be in the Discord and you want to drop in some questions, please feel free to do so. And we will bring it up on the show and talk about it. So, you know, all you want to do is all good. And of course, you want to say any comments or anything like that. And according to what we're saying on the show, feel free. We are broadcasting out to about four different services at one time, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and X. So anybody out there that hears the show, it's we have all the chats are squished into one chat. Here at Riverside that we use. And so anything you say on any of the platforms will pop up in front of us. And we will endeavor to answer you. And with that, I also mentioned the fact that, since I did mention the socials, you can catch us on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, X, and with a couple others I think we're working on. One of the things you might want to do if you prefer it or if you like it is if you go to YouTube, especially, you will see the video podcast version of what you're looking at right now. And the difference in between what you're seeing now on the stream and the YouTube live video is I get a chance to go into the video and do a little tweaking and editing in some other pictures perhaps, or video or stuff. And I get to put our names really fancy in the bottom and all that stuff. So it's kind of the spruced up version of the audio podcast. So generally we get our audio podcast out within 24 or 36 hours tops. And then we try to get the video podcast out in about 48 hours or so, or a little bit more than that. So just letting you know that if you do want to see a video version, see your ugly mugs, you can do that on YouTube. And we are working on trying to get it up to Spotify. There's been some technical difficulties on Spotify's side, but we're working on it. So just want to let you know that. On Wednesdays, when we can, we don't always do it on every Wednesday, but we do try to do some gaming streaming either on the Discord stream or on Twitch, depending. And we play in some co-op games and so forth. For instance, like Once Human. And Once Human is coming up with a big update, which we'll get into when it finally hits on the 17th. And we'll talk about it on probably the next podcast or the one after. So we will co-op on a lot of games like that. And you can just come in and join us on the Discord, watch the Discord stream. Or if we happen to be Twitch going on, then you can also join us on Twitch and talk to us there as well. Also, EGX is coming up in London. Not here where I am in South Florida, but in London. Always like to say that. And Matt will be going there. Trev will be going there. And one of our friends, Jansen, will be going there, and maybe some other people. If you Sife happen
is coming.
To... What days are you going there,
Matt? 25th.
25th?
25th, yeah. So the Friday... We're going there. I think Adam and Rob, I know, are going on Saturday because we haven't got any cover.
So work. On the Friday that you go, yeah. are you going all day or what?
Yeah, we're going all day. And apparently there's a drink up after the show as well, apparently. So yeah, we're going to join that. Only adults only. Well, I was 18 over. Yeah.
Cool. Well, if anybody out there is going to EGX on our UK crowd side, I know the US is on, listens to us too a lot. So sorry, guys, unless you're flying over there.
I'll take some pictures. I might try to screen some stuff, maybe.
Yeah. Definitely send some pictures and whatnot, and we will put them up on the Discord and so forth. We may be doing some our podcast or part of our podcast from EGX live next week. So instead of being in we'll be in Riverside as far as the virtual studio goes, but the guys may all be on one camera out by EGX and next week. Yeah. So we'll see.
So that might be slurring.
Kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And any video you can get to me before then, guys, do it, because I'll get it ready and I can always put it up and you guys can comment about it or whatever, and we can throw it up on the screen and let people see it and stuff.
Yeah. Would do, so that but that's be. Only on a Friday.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, whatever's going on. I think it goes just through the weekend, right? And then it's over?
It does, yeah. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah, so it's pretty well priced, and it's got the Comic-Con on part of it as well. So
is that the last big show these days, or is there still any other?
That's a good question, actually. You've got the WSAD. Okay. I wouldn't say it was big.
We'll say moderate to be.
Moderate, yeah. Yeah, it's moderate.
And I know Insomnia, unfortunately, is taking a hike, so.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been great. I never even got a chance to go to there, only because it was so expensive, and I don't see the point of something so expensive.
Part of the reason why it's not there.
Yeah, probably. It's a shame. But yeah, I mean, you got, like, yeah, I think that's the only shows, and I think EGX being part of Comic-Con helps it stay alive.
Have you heard of anything of what's going on when you get there? Have anything to look for, or what you you want to look for?
I'm just going there. I'm going to grab all the freebies, drink all the free drinks. hopefully, there's free drinks.
Maybe you can get to play a game. Maybe.
Yeah. Try a few demos. Chat to some people there. Let's see. You know, there might be some famous people there. There might be. Might kidnap them. Who knows?
Yeah.
You can't use that against me, though.
Well, you guys try to remember in between drinks that you do have a camera on your phone.
Yeah,
and,
that's it.
Take some pictures of anybody famous there, and mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. Yeah. But that would be great. Absolutely. So, all right, well, let's move on with the show then. That sounds pretty good. We got, there's a lot of gaming news, so we're going to kind of try to get to one thing at a time here and go over. So one of the things that has come to note is there's something I didn't even know about until I actually started reading up on this. And, oh, dog going. Say something, Matt, while I close the door.
He knows. He knows. See, that dog's telling us all about the news and what's happening.
Okay.
Hopefully, he probably knows there's somebody famous coming to the EGX. Right. That's what it is.
Sorry, a dog got wild because somebody was coming to the door. Anyway, this is something I never even saw before. And when I saw this, I was really kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm excited about this or a little scared about this or both. I'm not really sure. Anyway, basically the title goes, there's a future where you and your graphics cards decide what a game looks like, not the developers. And I'm sitting there going like, I know it has something to do with AI, but I wasn't sure what that meant exactly. So basically, I guess the easy way to explain this is that there's a couple of YouTubers out there. One person in particular, if I get their name up again, I will tell you. Oh, okay. YouTuber Soundtrick. That's Soundtrick. Give him a little plug there. Maybe we can even interview him one day. But anyway, so what he's been doing is he's been taking actual game footage and he's been running it through AI, specific AI, to give the characters an ultra realistic look. If you see the picture on the article, Matt, it gives you an example. But there's like a shot of the female character from BioShock. And what he did was he went in there and stuck ultra realistic graphics over her, so to speak.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she's come to life like much more than ever. Even the backgrounds and many other things that are going on in the course of the video. So instead of watching, you know, characters or gameplay that you're used to, he actually runs it through the AI and it comes out looking really good. Now, it is definitely not perfect. It is, you know, a little janky and stuff like that. But if you do go onto YouTube and look this guy up and look at some of the videos, it's pretty freaking amazing. And he was basically extrapolating out a little bit on the quality and the things that that are happening now. And what this is going to do for the very near future when we're talking about this stuff. So essentially what, you know, I'm trying to read here exactly how it's generated by AI. There's particular programs he uses. Okay. So it's called It's called Gen 3 Video to Video Tool on Runway ML. Like I said, I just found out about this, so I don't know enough about it. For those that may be watching YouTube, you can see the difference we're talking about. And there's a lot more than that when you do go on his site and take a look at some of his videos. Now, even though it is a little janky looking and it's not perfect, I'll tell you right now, I was very floored at how good it looks. I mean, it looks really good. And all he did was feed the video through the AI and give it some parameters. And all it did was just basically its only command was to go in and apply realistic graphics as much as possible to the video of the games. And it just comes out looking like, wow.
And it doesn't look bad at all.
Oh, it looks really good.
Yeah.
So what they did is they took an older game like GTA and they showed what it would look like in GTA. And all of a sudden you see let's face it. Some of the GTA characters are pretty old looking and they don't have much to go on with features and they're kind of blocky and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And now when you see what he's done with it, they all look really good and realistic. And I'm just like, wow, this is just wild. And in the scheme of things, it took him no time to do this, as opposed to if we were to take to one of the games and just say, hey, here, run it through, you know, Unreal 5.5 and bring everything up. It would take a lot of effort. It would take people. It would take a lot of work, you know, to remaster, blah, blah, blah. But this guy does it like in, I'm going to say a few minutes. It's not a few minutes, but in comparison to what you would have to do with an Unreal Engine doing total remaster, it takes no time for this guy to do it. And the thing that we've talked about off and on with AI is that AI is increasing exponentially in the talents of what it can do. And he was talking from two perspectives. He did mention that he got some negative flack on his article because people were saying, like, well, you're not talking about the bad side. So he did balance the article out and say, yes, AI is here to stay. Yes, it's putting people out of jobs. Yes, it's going to continue to put people out of jobs. But then he also said, you know, basically, hey, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. I mean, it's here. It's not going to just go under the rug. Yeah, we're showing Matt just put up a couple more videos from the games. And when you look at this, Matt, isn't that crazy?
That is madness.
I mean, it's not even funny. I mean, it looks really good, and yeah. it's not even if it's a little janky, it's not that janky. You know, I mean, with a little, can you imagine where it could go once AI learns how to clean up all this stuff?
Absolutely.
So you're looking at GTA, and you look at one side, and you just can't believe how it looks compared to the game. But the timing and everything looks the same, and the people that are talking are the same. The movements are pretty close to the same. They all just, it's almost like taking the characters of your game and mocapping them with real life people. And I know that's impossible, but I'm just saying that technically is what the AI is doing. It is essentially taking, let's just say, for example, The Witcher in 10 years ago, okay? And just saying, okay, now we're gonna mocap or rotoscope that character to the Henry Cavill character in Witcher. Yeah. And they just do it and it looks good. And that's what's happening. The AI is actually doing this. But not only is it kind of mocapping or rotoscoping, I guess they used to call it, the character, they're doing it to the scene, the whole scene, the buildings, the vehicles, I mean, everything. I mean, what do you think, Mac, when you see this stuff?
I think it's brilliant. I mean, it kind of makes me want to see it now. That's the thing. It's just like, oh, yeah. If I had those graphics now, that would be me. I'd be done. I'd be like, yeah. Give me, what's it, Snake, Metal Gear Solid.
Sure.
Yeah. Let me see Star Citizen with that. That'd be pretty interesting. Alien games. Oh,
yeah. That would be crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Redo the Matrix. Do that.
The funny thing is that I don't think this we had mentioned before, but I don't think this technology is that far away, Matt. I mean,
it doesn't seem like it, does it, to be honest?
This all just happened in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen in six more months or a year or 2 years? I mean, literally, I'm not – look, I want to make sure that we – and we've said this before, and I want to preface it again. I'm not looking or trying to make it sound like I want people to lose their jobs, okay? I don't. But on the other side of the coin, you got to understand the AI is that the cat's out of the bag. There is no way you're putting the cat back in the bag. You're just not.
Exactly, so
right. So basically, either you have to figure out how to adapt your job to become something that's involved in AI, and then you'll be okay. Or I don't know, man. Look for some other job that you like. Absolutely. But this is never going to stop. And it's all money driven, of course, Matt. So if you're looking at a game, you know, especially a AAA game that costs, I don't know, we've heard different things, 100 million, 200 million, you're not going to have to spend nearly half that or less to be able to do what this guy did when this program starts to advance. So if this program advances, you know, it's going to actually be producing half the game on its own.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it'd probably be more feed the greed of these corporates than it would be actually savings for us. Probably would.
Look, technically, if I have to take I'm trying to take the human emotion out of it for a moment. But if you get a respectable company that uses the software to create a really good AAA game, because now it costs them only a quarter to a half of what it used to, then hopefully they would put out an even better AAA game, because they would have these two new tools to go by and their experience of how to make the games. And they could come out with some games that we've only dreamed of. So in terms of that, it could be very well. But then again, on the other side of the coin, like you're saying, there's always, you know, it's used for good and for evil.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they could end up just, you know, janking out a bunch of games with this stuff and then sell us a bill of goods saying, like, see, it's so much better.
Yeah.
You know, and it, we don't know. We don't know where this is going. But imagine, like, you know, this has been the age of the remaster, like, you know, these last few years. You know, we've seen the Horizon Zero Dawn remaster, and it's all great. Don't get me wrong. It's all wonderful. But essentially, you could do the remastering at half the cost with this technology.
Absolutely.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it'd be fantastic to see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, some of the games that you mentioned that you like, I mean, you could take almost any old game now, you know, and just sit there and put in the realistic characters. I mean, it would look, it would bring older games that you don't
want to
go. Yeah, there you go. So an older game that you don't want to go back to play because you just can't get over the graphics. Now all of a sudden, poof, it looks, you know, realistic. And it's like, man, I'd play all the old games again if they all look like that.
Absolutely.
And Lara Croft just being one of them. But that's cool. Yeah. But you make a good point. You know, so I had no clue that this was going on. This is something new. So when I looked at this, I was just like, whoa. And doing this like in their basement, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but the point is that, yeah, it just takes a couple pieces of software, not much money, and they can just pump this stuff out.
Absolutely.
I don't know where it's going to go, but you know, it could be some really interesting stuff coming down the pike. So
I see. We'll greatness. See.
Any other thoughts on that, Matt?
Only that I can see great things happening. I think it can open up so much more opportunities. I'm just amazed. I mean, I think it was a few days ago. I think I came across a couple of them being shown on YouTube, and I just went, "Oh, that looks pretty good." You know, somebody's done a good bit of work there, re-rendering it sort of thing. But then, AI in there, but I didn't actually think it'd be like the whole game or show.
Nope, talk back in your mic. I can't hear.
Oh, sorry. There we go. How's that?
Yep.
Yeah, so look, it does look good. I think it makes it a lot more sharper. I think some people probably think it's a bit too controversial, brings games a bit too much closer to real life, especially with the crime elements of certain aspects.
Yeah,
there will be that, but we get that everywhere anyways, don't we? So
well, I'm thinking that if you can make it that realistic, so why can't you just go into the computer and say, hey, make it look a little less realistic?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I mean, it only is going to tell you do what you tell it to do. So if it tones it down some, then maybe it's or if there's a for instance, like Borderlands, that does more of a animated ish looking type of graphics, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure AI could do that to games. It could just, so you could just basically say, hey, I want you to make the graphics look like a Borderlands type graphics, and it would just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and a little flip switch or something. Or
Yeah. I'm sure it can handle it, you know. Yeah. So, and then you might even be able to see games that you always wanted to see a sequel to, but they're just too expensive to make. Hey. Maybe you might see that game come around, because since it isn't so expensive to make, they can take a shot at having a sequel.
Red Dead 3.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, little things like, you remember that game Bulletstorm, which I really enjoyed a lot years ago?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It had a good fan following, but not enough to really, you know, go any further with it.
Yeah.
But imagine taking that game and now finally making a new one, because it would be, in other words, you can take more of a risk now. Mm-hmm. To games like that, because your potential losses would be far lower. So that could really push game makers into doing some interesting stuff that might be a little more, you know, off the wall or something, and they never would ever try before, but now you can.
Yeah, first game to put in there, Outlaws, throw it in.
Yeah, throw it in to come out with something better than what we got.
Yeah. I mean, like, either way, it could make any worse.
Some of that in a minute, but anyway, I think next we're going to cover some games coming to Xbox Game Pass in November, or at least so far as what we know. Basically, they're going to be having Stalker 2 is coming. Let me give the right dates and start from the beginning. StarCraft Remastered and StarCraft 2 for PC are both going to be coming November 5th. To Game Pass, which I thought was great because I haven't played StarCraft in a long time. And to remaster the first one is going to be interesting. And two, I played a lot and when it came out. But for adapting it to PC and getting it on Game Pass, that's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, be definitely one for me to try.
Those are classic games.
Yeah, I don't think I've touched StarCraft. No.
I have StarCraft II somewhere around here that I put up on eBay. Well, I put it up when the prices were going really high.
Yeah.
Like $500 for the game. Unopened. Well, right? Yeah, now it's down to like $100 and I don't think my game's gonna get the money for it. I could hold on a second. Those that are on YouTube, you can see this, but this is the game.
Yeah.
And this is unopened. The factory tape is still on it. And it is up on eBay, so go buy it. No. if I'd been a little sooner, I might have gotten the full $500 for it, but I guess, you know, things being cyclical, oh well.
Yeah. Well, maybe Christmas time, maybe. Yeah, reserve on it just in case.
True.
Yeah.
Next game coming, which I don't really know why they would remaster a game like this, but they did, and it's called Goat Simulator Remastered.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, oh, I mean, it's a gimmicky game to begin with, so why would you want to remaster it?
Yeah.
But they are, and it's coming out November 7th. I never really played the game. I've heard some goofy things about it. I don't know. Have you ever tried it?
I have. Yeah.
I want to know about this now.
It's yeah, you play as a goat. You go around. You can do things. You can beat up bystanders, break into things, scream, shout, headbutt things. It's quite funny. It is a funny comedic.
Do they use all those weird sheep screams that you hear on YouTube? You know,
yeah!
Like that?
Yeah, I think.
Or whatever.
Yes, yeah, yeah. If I remember correctly, yes, yeah. You can kind of scream and shock people. Yeah, it is funny. You'll have to try it.
I'll have to give it a shot, just because it sounds pretty goofy. So what the heck? And they got a simulator for everything now.
They do.
And this is a big release that everybody's been looking forward to that likes this type of game. Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, coming to Game Pass November 19th. So this should be rather interesting. I don't know if you can bring it up real quick, Matt. I didn't think about it, but there's a video. It says official trailer, too. We'll try to pop it up so that the YouTubers and other people out there on the video can see a little bit of it. But they've been hearing a lot of good things about it. We have a Discord member that plays this, and he said it always looks pretty good. But now with 2024, there's supposed to be some other extra ditties that they're coming out with this thing. It's supposed to be the largest fleet of aircraft I think they've ever done. You can do an entire aviation career through this. Our buddy Trub has a whole cockpit made of this. So if you can't get it, Mike, don't worry about it. A lot of people look forward to it. I don't know. Have you ever played this kind of game or the simulator?
Flight simulator? I played the first one.
Ages ago.
Which was fantastic. They had like a sort of campaign. You had things that you could do, which is brilliant. Where the new one, you didn't have that. So that kind of put me off quite a bit. You couldn't land your plane where you know, from the old one, you can land anywhere. You can crash. You can do whatever you like, pretty much. UFOs and all
on
that.
On purpose?
Yeah, yeah. But the new one, you can't, like, as soon as you get to that crash point, it blacks out. That's it, sort of thing.
Really? So you don't go crashing and flying in pieces. You just black out.
Yeah, you just black screen. There you go. But I think was a comic was saying there's a way to get around it as well. And there's mods that actually bring those aspects to it.
Wait a minute. There's mods that will let you crash with the plane instead of blacking out.
Like do jobs, not a mod for that. I think there's some sort of setting that they can change. I've never been able to find it. But then again, I haven't got the patience to look through it all. But yeah, I have played it before. It's good fun. Yeah.
I mean, that's about to be realistic. I mean,
the timing is realistic in the game. So if you're going on a long flight, it's a long flight sort of thing. I think I did one from London to Dublin and I was just like, why is it taking so long?
And if you run out of gas, do you actually just kind of like, you know.
You kind of go, yeah, bye-bye.
Is it only commercial airlines or is it the jets or anything?
There are a couple of jets. There's helicopters. You got different liveries, skins for the planes. You can have realistic You can have a not so realistic sort of thing. So you can have your damage, your G force.
What's issues. The career path thing part of it? Is that like any good?
The first one was, yeah, you kind of like, I think there's just like, what was the little campaigns, going on a safari and taking people around, yeah. Rescuing things. Then in the new ones with the mod, you could do a career sort of thing. So you go fly your plane somewhere, land, pick up cargo, and then go off. Off you go, depending on what kind of cool. cargo. So yeah, I still have to try that bit. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be
and
great.
It's VR as well. You can play it on VR as well. So that was brilliant.
I can imagine. I just got a Quest 3. I haven't had time to sit down and really mess with it yet.
Yeah.
But I hear everybody's telling me about it, and it's like, you know, you got to see this. And I go, all right.
You're going to have a huge list to get through.
I'm sure. Just trying to learn how to run it, let alone anything else.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of interesting. But okay. The next game that's coming up is going to be Stalker. I should say Stalker 2. In fact, it's called Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl. So that is something that I never played the first Stalker, but I've heard this one is supposed to be pretty good. And since it's coming to Game Pass, technically, since I have Game Pass, it doesn't cost me anything. And that's the favorite thing I want to hear. So, that should be a lot of fun playing that. Have you ever played any of the Stalker games or?
Only partially. I think at the time I was doing something, playing something else that was a bit more. My kind of level, mm-hmm. more hardcore, I think. But I've always been interested in doing that, and I think the one that's coming to come out, I am going to. So yeah, it does. It's been good.
Well, we're gonna try to give it a run, and we'll let you know. Glad it's on Game Pass. It's always good to be able to pick up on the games and. Review them and let you know what we think of them. So it makes it much easier when it is on Game Pass. After Stalker 2, that's November 20th, by the way, that's coming. I never heard of this game, but there's a game coming November 26th called Nine Sols, S-O-L-S. It looks kind of like a anime-ish movie, I guess. Game. It's a Nintendo Switch, but it's also going to be on PS4, 5, and of course Xbox.
Dark Souls-y, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I can see they look like cat characters playing video games. So I really don't know much more than that, but it's interesting. And that's coming November 26th for those that know what that game is. So
those cool. Like cats?
Yeah, if you will. Like, I guess that's how the internet grew, right? With the cat videos.
Yeah, that's true. It started it off.
All right. Well, I'm going to get into this next area where I've definitely got some views on, and I want to hear what your views are, Matt. But essentially, Starfield's DLC came out and called Shattered Space. Many of us were expecting it to improve the game because we weren't all that thrilled with the game. The hype was there, and it was the greatest hype they have ever done, and they sold a lot of games. I don't remember how many copies it was, but it was in the millions. And then when people really started playing the game, they started realizing its limitations. I'm not going to flat out say it was a terrible game, but it's just it really gives you the feeling that it's just old. And I think part of the problem that we've talked about before about that is that it's, you know, the engine they're using is really, I think it's Creation Engine, is a dated engine and essentially is only can do what it can do. And unfortunately, the things that they said they were going to do didn't really come to life. It was not as expansive as it should have been. It didn't have proper travel, space travel in the game.
No.
A lot of the characters tended to be kind of one-sided and didn't have really a lot of facets to them. We had the typical Bethesda stuff that characters were like staring off in the different directions. They had them only staring you right up in your face instead of like, dip the field back off a little, buddy.
Yeah.
You're a little too close. You know, or whatever, and all these other things. So people were thinking like, oh, good, and no vehicles, which was nuts.
Yeah, you had to walk everywhere.
Right. So the updates in Shattered Space, they have vehicles now. They have additional, apparently, places you can go. But But again, when it came out, most people were saying this is not what we thought. It was underwhelming. Many players thought it underdelivered and at best lukewarm. So for something like that, that you were hoping that, you know, the game could, if the game got the proper love and care, it may be able to transcend where it was and be a better game. But apparently it doesn't seem like it's happening. Apparently a lot of people believe that it's just too late, that the game was not what it was supposed to be. And, you know, the DLC didn't really do anything to improve that. And I think what this draws on now is that is Bethesda like losing touch? You could say that, or you could say that they've been losing touch, and this is just, you know, culmination of all that. I think a lot of people are tired of it because the launches have been pretty shoddy. The reveals and the hype has been high, and then when you really get to the game, it's just like it's just not what they build it up to be. And I think it's a shame. And again, we talked about how the AAAs are starting to go down the tubes, and a lot of these other companies are popping up that are much smaller and putting out much better games like Black Myth Wukong and Shroud and a couple others. I mean, what do you think about what's been going on with Bethesda, especially since this came out and now they're still poor?
Yeah, I mean, I played it when it first came out. I enjoyed it. I kind of understood its background, so I wasn't expecting a lot where other people were. I think I stayed away from all the hype and all that stuff as well, so that kind of helped. But yeah, it was kind of janky, and having to run around after you've landed your ship, that was annoying. Yeah, it certainly did. I was just like, well, there's only so much you can take. With the characters as well, they were quite empty, you know, so they, like, one minute you'd be upsetting one member of your crew, and then out of the blue you talk to them like, oh, where are we going? And you're like, oh my goodness.
It was almost too like a lot of the characters didn't even know what had just previously happened.
Yeah.
And it was, and when you talk to somebody, what I thought was funny was you're talking to somebody about somebody, and that somebody is standing right there.
Just going, hi.
And the NPC pretends like I didn't hear any of that. You know, really? We're like right next to you.
Yeah. I don't think we should talk to him. We should put him out the airlock.
Yeah, okay. Not a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a shame, though, because to me that just sounds just poor planning all the way around. And yes, thinking that people that are used to better games now are just gonna swallow it.
Absolutely. And very limited NPC speech. Yeah. You know, it's like you'd expect a little bit more verbal play, especially these days.
I want to know whether you agree with what I've been seeing in some of the articles, and they're saying that this, they think this is the straw that broke the camel's back, per se. And they're saying that Bethesda's got to do something because they think they've hit rock bottom. They think they've gone as far as they can go on an old engine that they just keep on repairing and patching.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it come across that way to you or no?
Yeah. I mean, it is dated. It is old. I think even Bohemia Interactive with Arma, they were using the same engine for many years, and I think they're only just starting now to move over to a new engine. So, you know, there's still time for them to move it over, port across, or at least.
I don't know if there's time. I mean, since they made a lot of money on the hype and sold a lot of copies, they're not in trouble of really losing money on Starfield. However, that still hurts their reputation.
There'll be that decline. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely.
And what I don't understand is, I'm not going to say that that their engine doesn't look better than Skyrim, because that was a long time ago, 12 years ago or whatever. But it doesn't look that much better. It just looks more polished, and you can do a few more things with it. But when you're really looking at the characters and seeing some of the things that they do and how the structure is made and how they act, they don't act any different than any of the old games.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same that way. Yeah.
And I'm going like, you got to grow up somewhere. You can't just keep putting out the same stuff. I mean, there's people out there putting out much better games with, you know, with real meaningful story behind it and characters that don't do a lot of these weird things. And if it wasn't for the modding community, I don't think anybody would be playing this game. I mean, the modders just came out and said, Yeah, well, it's a Bethesda mistake again, so we'll just fix it. And they've done some really good stuff with it.
Absolutely. And everything.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's surprising. And one of the things that in the next article I had picked up on really ties into this one really well, and it's still Bethesda. But they said a Skyrim lead designer says Bethesda can't just switch engines because the current one is perfectly tuned, his quote, to make the studio's RPGs. And I'm like, okay, so what you're telling me is that we're not going to bother making any better game engine because it's exactly the way we want it. We want to pump out old looking games.
Yeah, pretty much.
Something, yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, I'm even wondering if the guy really said this. I know he did, but it's like, why would you say that? Because it's like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. The engine's perfect for what we put out. And I'm like, but dude, they're not liking the games as much anymore. They keep telling you're not growing old.
Not growing with the audience is probably a killer right there.
And their question, then their answer is just like, well, it's the perfect engine to make these games. I go, well, you need to stop. You need to do something different, you know, or get rid of the engine. And as I was reading further into the article, it was going like, well, you know, it used to be this engine and now it's this engine. And he's going on like, it's done some amazing things in Starfield and stuff. And I'm like, really?
I mean,
I don't know about that. And so he's, I don't know, I guess he was out trying to defend it all, but I don't see where you can defend it.
And no, it was quite clunky. Even the map, the star map that they had was pretty much trivial. It was rubbish.
Yeah, it was poor design.
It was, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm thinking that if Bethesda doesn't shape up and get with the modern stuff, you're not going to see good stuff anymore. I don't even know why they would bother trying to do another Skyrim type game when if they're going to stick to this engine. I don't want to see Elder Scrolls 6 look like this. Bad enough. I thought Starfield was going to look a lot better, and it didn't. And I'm like, wow, you're going to make another Elder Scrolls 6 look like this? And I'm like,
oh no.
I think they have in mind that maybe if they just do another Elder Scrolls and make it look like Skyrim, even in the same graphic sense, that everybody will just fall for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think so.
No, I think we passed that stage. I think they need to look at Ubisoft, learn, not just like copy what they're doing.
Yeah,
learn from it. You know.
And this is like we said, all the AAA companies are like going down the tubes of this. Ubisoft, Bethesda. I mean, I'm not going to say all of them, but a good chunk of them are doing this, and they wonder why they're losing money. You know,
exactly. Yeah,
it's. I think it's a shame, and I have no. It's weird because I kind of want to go back to play Starfield, but every time I try to go back to it, I feel like everything is so old that I just don't want to bother. Over.
Yeah,
and then when you go and play a better game, you're sitting there going like, "Well, I have no more interest to go back to that. I'd rather play this game."
Exactly. You know, I mean, we're seeing other companies out there, even smaller companies, bringing out better things, even free games that are looking a lot better, a lot more polished. Yeah. Why can't they do that?
Look at Once Human.
Once Human that's free to play. Thinking. Yeah, absolutely.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
And they haven't charged a penny. And the only money they make really right now is just buying the cosmetics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and more power to them. A lot of people love those cosmetics. That's fine. But I haven't paid a dime yet, and yet the game is pretty good, and I've had a lot of fun with it.
Absolutely, it's been brilliant.
You know, and the new one, the new scenario Away with the Winter is going to be out the 17th. Matt and I will be playing it for sure, and we'll let you know in the next week or two what we think. But from everything I've seen about it already, the game looks like it's just kind of rolling along. So, hey, and it's still free.
Absolutely, so, yeah.
All good.
That's it. That DLC for Starfield, that was paid, wasn't it? They charged you for that?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's right. $30.
Yeah.
If you got the game when it was on Game Pass, you didn't pay anything, you know, cool. But now you got to pay $30.
On top of that.
Do anything. I mean, it doesn't really make anything better, per se.
Yeah. Stick to the mods. Use the mods. Star Wars mods.
Yeah.
Throw that in there. There you go.
I think what we'll do, Matt, too, by the way, we'll go off notes a little bit and let's go to your games and then we'll come back around to some hardware.
Yeah,
might be okay. Better. So I know you played a couple of games, thank goodness, and a couple of them I do want to know about. So I'll let you take it from here and I'll ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's demo week on Steam. So one of them I was already interested in and I loved it from the get-go. And this will be our first one here called The Precinct. Mr. Gray, if you'd like to do the video up on there for me, please. So The Precinct is an upcoming open world crime fighting game developed by the Fallen Tree Games there. It's set in Averno City, based in 1983. It looks fantastic. So it's like a drop down type old desk. Type of GTA kind of theme to it a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Neon noir visuals there, which is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
I love saying that. If we can all say it right.
Noir. Yeah, absolutely noir. So you play as Officer Nick Cardell Jr., a rookie cop. Your dad used to be a cop, and he has all the ace things there. Everybody adores him. So you have big boots to fill. So you tackle crimes that are happening around this town, the city, ranging from parking violations, gang shootouts, solving mysteries from there, which I think leads on to one of the big stories there. The game is procedurally generating crimes that happen there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I was playing it, I was you go into like where you like a meeting room. Mm-hmm. Where the chief officer on watch officer will give you your, this is what you'll be doing. Here's your partner. Go off in town and do this, that, and the other. It could be like checking out parking violations, speeding, offenses, people vandalizing things. So you kind of have to go and deal with that. So
is there a natural progression like there would be on if you really were at a precinct, like the different types of assignments you got to go on?
Yeah. So with the demo, you get to do certain parts. So with that, I was doing a bank job. I wasn't doing a bank job. I was stopping the bank job.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah.
So you're a wishful, cricket cop.
Yeah. It could be. Oh, I wonder if they bring that in. That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah,
I was going to say, maybe that's coming.
Yeah. There you go. So, I mean, you've got loads of environments. I think there is a grade of how you go up. I didn't really go through that much of it when I was playing the demo. It was kind of short. It's very limited what you could do. You couldn't veer off to do your own thing. It'll just bring you back. I mean, I technically ended up shooting. Okay. A couple of civilians, a couple of cops, and then it stops you right there. But
how are the graphics on it?
The graphics are very nice. They look really good for what it is. It works really well with the game. It brings you that atmosphere sort of thing of the 80s, especially with the garments that you have to wear. The people there, you can interact with everybody there, which is awesome. You can arrest them, shower them. You might be able to shoot them in the full.
Are you able to? It's not too linear, is it? Or
no. I mean, this is just the demo part of it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
That I was playing. So I think from that part, we did a couple. We did a car chase. We did the bank robbery.
Oh, really? Cool.
We took down a couple of people who were vandalizing, doing graffiti, I should say.
And what time period does this take place in now? Or different?
No, in the 80s, 1983.
Okay.
Yeah, where it all matters, where cops were cops.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. No, that's now it's like, yeah, whatever. It's art. There we go. So eventually you do get up to flying a helicopter where you have to follow a car chase and report back where the car is, where it's going, and then you can arrange backup to come in to chase them down, use road stripes or spikes, I should say, or a ramming vehicle So yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's brilliant. I like it.
Is there voice acting in the game?
There is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
How do they sound?
They sound okay. I mean, it's not videoed. It's like you get portraits of the main characters. One will pop up and then talk, and then go back down, and then another one will pop up and talk. Other than that, it's okay. It's not too bad.
See, what would you give it, like, an overall grade so far?
Overall, from what I've played, what I've seen, I would give it, you know, a good 7. A good 7. I think, you know, for what I played with it, I think that's a good score.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. I mean, the voice acting doesn't sound, you know, like it's forced or anything, or it's just out of place, which is good. It's nice. And you have that freedom to roam around. I hope after this part of the demo, you'll be able to do your own thing.
Can you floor it and go in and out of cars and, like?
You can actually. Yeah. So you got your own squad car. Then you have, like, whatever cars are around. You can actually confiscate the cars and use them.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I'm taking your car. Here's my badge. So I think so.
Pull up to a DeLorean and go, like, I need to take your car. Why don't you take one of these other ones? Well, they don't look as good.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I got to go back to the future.
There you go.
It is a brilliant game. Love it.
Good. Glad you like it.
Try it.
Was there any word on when it would be out? Or
it is. Yeah, it's coming out in December. Let me just double check that, because I was trying to find the price for it. But I couldn't find it. I'm sure there was. I think it was £34.
That's not bad. This for December?
Q4, yeah, December. Mid Q4,
okay.
December, so it's about December time. I'm sure it did come up with a price of £33-34.
That's not bad.
But yeah, try it out on the demos.
Steam, right? Steam. I think you said.
Yeah, so it's launching on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X. So those who got it early might be happy with that, and the S. Also on PC, on Steam, and Epic.
All right. And then you're pretty busy and got in 3 games. So your second game was what now?
Yeah, second game is, I've saw this. I haven't played the demo of this. I've just downloaded it. So that's why I was kind of a little distracted, maybe. Called Twilight Tales. I think I'll get you their thing. So this one is quite nice. It's a single and a co-op game. It was produced by a guy called... Apologies for this. I'm not good at names. Not good at
much. Yeah, it's a little rough one. Yep.
Yeah. Prokopchuk Pavlo from Ukraine.
Right.
I don't know if he's had help building this game or not. I've been trying to find out. But it's a very immersive, interactive adventure where you play as a raccoon. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to do a raccoon? I've done... Was it other animal simulators as a fox and a wolf back in the day? So this one kind of goes there. So you pretty much have to survive in the mysterious wild that's full of secrets and challenges. It's got quite realistic wild environments that you can immerse yourself in. Very
looks pretty
picturesque.
Good.
It does look good. I saw this on TikTok. He was on TikTok showing this off to us. And I was like, oh, I need to message this guy. This looks good, but then he's put it on as a trial, a demo, so you can play that as well.
I mean, I'm assuming from looking at it, you're playing a creature, or
yeah, you're playing that raccoon.
Okay.
If you're co-oping, then you'll be a bunch of raccoons. There you go. So you'll be going around forests, mountains, water, rivers. We have there's seasons as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the conditions of storms, winters, all that good, lovely stuff. So you can form alliances with other players, so you can have, like, little family badgers coming at you. You do have to be wary of predators as well. You also have the ability to build shelters, digging holes or whatever you do there.
Okay, now wait a minute. Be careful. What kind of shelter would a raccoon make?
It's going to be a three-tier,
or
three-tier hotel. Called the Ritz.
Really?
The Raccoon Ritz. Yeah. The cartoon. What's it? The Raccoons. Do you remember the Raccoons cartoon? From the 80s, 90s? No?
Nah.
They have little houses like that.
I remember some of the Disney stuff, but
yeah. So this is just normal habitat style things that you have. So little holes in either trees or garbage cans, probably. No,
there you go.
There you go.
A little dumpster.
Yeah, a little dumpster, jumper dumpster.
So I want to ask you a real question now, because yeah. I always wondered about this. Do you feel like do you like games where you play an animal as opposed to playing a human, which is what you do mostly in a game?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a mix. I love my Sims, so it could be like anything, to be honest. I think that there's one of a bee somewhere. I think it's on Xbox Pass. I tried ages ago. It's a bit for the, but I still played it because it was quite fun. But yeah. I mean, it'd be nice. It kind of, if it's real kind of simulation where you kind of learn, or, you know, I love the Discovery Channel, David Attenborough and all that stuff. So if it has anything where it's true form to that quite a bit, then I'll be into that too. But like, yeah, I'm playing that.
I was curious because I don't think I've ever played a game where anything less than a humanoid.
Yeah. So
I don't remember playing any animals or anything. So yeah. I'm really curious as to whether, because like when I see a game where you're playing an animal, at first I go like, oh, well, how much fun can that be? Because you're not a human, so you can't do certain stuff.
Yeah.
But then again, yeah. I'm thinking like, well, if people are liking it, there must be something to it.
Yeah. You know?
So I'm gonna probably try a couple of these that are coming out that where you're playing an animal and see whether you like it. It definitely is different from and a whole new perspective for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of the trial demos that ends on the 21st. So okay, grab it, have a look at it, see how you feel. It kind of gives me that vibe. You know, have you ever seen, what's the ape? The Ancestors, where you have to evolve your mammal.
I can't remember the name of the game now. Mankind or something?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. Where you're like a monkey, ape.
Yeah, you start out as a primitive, human or whatever, and then you work your way up or something.
Absolutely. So it kind of reminds me of that, even though I didn't really play that much of that one because it was
hard. That game's gotten mixed reviews, but there were some things about it that looked kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. The graphics of the game from that were really good as well. For me, I think it was just a bit long-winded, and if things go wrong, you're kind of stuck with what you have there, sort of thing. And I think there was quite a few things that were difficult to grasp as well of the game. So that's what pulled me off on there. It's probably an easy mode, but I don't like easy. So
yeah. All right, and then you want to talk about the third game you tried?
Yeah, so this one I played yesterday, Aloft, which you brought to my attention. You did, yeah. So it's a very feel good, very cozy kind of game. It's very, very family orientated, I'd say. You can play it as a co-op as well, up to 8 people in your world. I thought it'd be like a massive thing, but it's not. You're on this island that's generated for you within the clouds. Where you can transform it pretty much to any way you kind of like after a while. You got to navigate the world, discover new islands. So you have to have, a glider. So you can reach these other islands and you'll see like little whirls of tornado sort of thing where you need to fly into to give you a bit more lift so you can reach other places as well. You can make these islands into your own sailing habitat, which is awesome. You also have to look after the ecosystem of other islands, which is part of the game. You have, what are they called? They're shown as mushrooms, fungi sort of things with beasts that come from the main source. You have to clear them out, get the island into a good state, and then from there you'll be able to learn certain aspects, skills, things to craft.
I think one of the things I liked about this was that it showed the cities that are all in the sky.
Yeah.
And literally, it almost kind of looked like small cities built on rocks, and the rocks essentially were acting like a sail ship.
Yes.
On the ocean, except that you're using it in the sky. So I thought that was kind of different. You've seen some of that maybe in science fiction films and stuff, but I don't think I've ever seen it on quite a grand a scale as this game. Aloft.
Yes, yeah.
I also think from what I saw, again, it's and you played it a little bit, but the building mechanics look pretty interesting.
They're interesting. They're quite simplified as well. So they're not so complicated for some, I guess. You know, with some buildings that games that we have, we have to unlock certain trees. And then from there, there's still something that you need to unlock through resources, what have you there.
Does it seem to be, at least from what you can tell, a pretty open world, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much open world. Whatever islands are there, you can get to. You do have to make sure you've got enough lift in your glider. To go through. You also have sails that you can stick on the island and then use that to...
Was there fast travel or did you have to do everything with the glider?
Everything with the glider. Yeah, no fast traveling.
Now that's interesting. I kind of like that because I thought flying with a glider everywhere that you wanted to go to explore, that gives it a little extra something.
It does.
It's not like the typical gliders where, you know, you glide and then you're immediately already fallen. You know?
Yeah.
This one looks like you can stay aloft if you do the right thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I put that to the test and found out that I was losing a lot of speed. But it does give you a boost, so you can use that boost just to get yourself into the right area so you can either go into one of these wind tunnels to help you boost that even better.
Your updrafts and stuff?
That's it, updrafts. That's the word I was looking for.
They are, and then...
Yeah, they're quite visible, so you can actually see them, so you can mark your route that you want from there. So, yeah.
I like that aspect.
It's colorful. Right? It's a very colorful game.
Yeah, it is.
The environment looks really nice. I mean, the characters and the beasts are texturally primitive, cartoony. But it just adds to the environment. I think the first time when I was creating the character, I was like, oh, my goodness. I don't know what I'm getting with this.
I saw that.
I was like, I don't know what to make of it. Who am I? What am I? But then eventually once you, like, there's a few limitations on what there is that you can choose to customize your character. Yeah. I think there's 6 different bodies that you can choose, 3 men, 3 women style. And then from there, a few hairdos and eyeballs. Yeah, but it's very nice, very colorful. It's not a very harsh game to get into. You can just take your time, do what you want.
I heard one guy who played the game felt it was one of the more chiller games to play.
It is very relaxed game.
And still enjoy it without having to feel like you have to rush through it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's good like that because I had no idea. As soon as I landed into that island that I was on, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, what do I do? Where do I go? By the way,
when you arrived, did you have clothes on or no clothes?
I had clothes. Clothes. It gave me clothes. Yeah. I was like, I hope you can make more clothes. I think you can. Yeah. So you on the way, it'll tell you a tutorial on how to do certain things. So you kind of get the gist of it from there. It's pretty easy to follow. I may have gotten lost once.
Only once, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it said follow the path and you will find some surprise, and there was a few paths. I chose the wrong one and ended up falling
a real surprise.
That was it.
I know you only played so much, but could you see there's a skill tree involved and stuff, or
there is? Yeah, there's skills that you learn from rocks that you find within the islands. Sort of thing. So you have to go there, clear it up, and then go to the rocks, and then it'll come up with learn skill, and then you learn this certain skills.
Nice.
So it's pretty awesome. And you got things that you can find. There's houses, wrecks, ruins around the place.
I like exploring junk, man. That's fun.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. I just explored, tried to look through shipwrecks that are on these islands, going, oh my goodness, where's the water?
Now I have a question to ask you. Is everything only taking place in the sky, or are the things on the ground at all?
The ground is your islands. So the islands are the grounds, which are in the sky.
So everything's still up in the air, though?
Yeah, everything's in the air, yeah.
Okay, there is, so you're not going like down to the actual surface?
No, I don't think there is a surface. There's just this layer of cloud right at the bottom.
Oh,
if you go there, you die. Well, I say you die, you kind of like, you fade, and then you end up back in your island.
Have you tried floating off one of them just to see how far you can go down?
Yeah. So it just goes dark. Your screen goes dark, and then you respawn back at your island where you first began, pretty much.
I think of the games you told me about. That sounds like the one that's more exciting.
It is. It's,
from what
it's
I can tell.
Yeah, and it's nice. Like, you have, like, was it 8 slots for people to join your island?
Right.
Area sort of thing, which is nice.
Can you co-op with it, right? And everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's
what you do. Good. That's something that maybe we can all get into then eventually.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Let's slip back to some hardware tech news that we've been seeing and then, you know, chime in, Matt, on some of this stuff. But I thought the title of this article is interesting. It said, Intel just admitted the AMD Ryzen 7 9800X3D beats its new Arrow Lake gaming PCU. I like, they're admitting this. and apparently it says the new Intel Core Ultra 285K will be slower in games than AMD's new CPUs with 3D V-Cache. So I was kind of like, really? I mean, I've never heard them come out and flat say that, you know, AMD's beating them this time.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you make of all this?
I'm just like, what are they planning? What are they doing? Are they saying this just go there? And then just going to bring out something even better after a while and they go, ha?
Well, the whole clue is like you just said, after a while. How long?
Yeah,
after a while?
Yeah. 3 weeks.
Well, they're still reeling from the chips that rust on the boards and everything and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that they've had to backtrack, you know, just to get those chips working right. And the other thing was I think Arrow Lake was the 15th gen, but the 14th gen, if I remember correctly, when they came out, wasn't anything much above the 13s, and yet they did the 14s anyway.
Yeah.
Which almost made you think that, well, the 14s were kind of a waste in a way that if they're not much better than the 13s, why don't you just stick with the 13?
Yeah, I think the limitations was very minuscule in between, wasn't it? But then what would you prefer? Would you go for that little tiny bit? I mean, because the pricing, what was the pricing like?
Pricing for the 15 gem is more expensive. I don't remember.
Yeah,
that's another reason for not wanting to do it.
True. That's
if you're looking and believing the graph we're seeing, I mean, you can actually see it's a decent performance hike on AMD over the Intel. So I can see what they're saying. I mean, obviously AMD must be happy about it. So
absolutely. Yeah. Cash in while they can.
And Intel's getting the bad press that they have to come out of. This has happened before though. It's like Intel gets bad press. AMD takes over. Intel comes out with great chip. AMD takes back seat. Intel gets rusty chips on boards. AMD comes forward. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
They said they tested 5 different games. Apparently they tested Cyberpunk 2077. I'm trying to see what else they might have. What other games?
Red Dead Redemption.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah. And Formula One 2024. Yeah.
Okay. So if that's what you care about in games, like a lot of us do, and you're out there looking to upgrade, you might want to think twice and grab an AMD. I can only tell you from my personal experience, half of my PCs in my life have been Intel and half of them have been AMD. My last computer, which was great, I had for a good 3 years, was all AMD, except not for the graphics card, but everything else.
Yeah.
Great. And then I decided, oh, what the heck, I'll flip and go to Intel. And of course, as soon as I flip, I hear about the rusted chips. I'm like, which mine isn't, like, thank goodness. And they are giving you the long warranty, you know, so you can get another chip if something happens. but it was just kind of ironic when I made the switch, you know, back to Intel. And, you know, I'm not really sure, Matt, or whether you see this in common, but, and I don't know whether it could be a Windows 11 thing, but I noticed that I was using Windows 10 the whole time I had the AMD build before I switched to this build. When I switched to this build, I finally decided, all right, I'll just go straight to 11 with it and the Intel chip and the whole nine yards. I'm not saying it's terrible, but there'll be things that I'll be opening up maybe sometimes, whatever, a web page or this or a document. And I'm noticing a little delay. It's not horrible. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's horrible, but a little delay when some of the stuff decides to open up. And but when I had the previous computer, which was AMD on Windows 10, everything was like snap, snap, snap. This one's kind of like some things are snap, snap, and some things are, and then it snaps.
Yeah, I think I've noticed that as well.
And do you think that's a 10 to 11 kind of thing, or is it, or not?
Yeah, I think they've had the same issue where, you know, where they began with Windows 10 and they kind of just had it there. Where they moved to Windows 11, they haven't really fixed anything. They just made it look nicer.
But 11's been out for what, 2 years?
Yeah. And it's still kind of clunky, chunky. I see things having issues, like my network card. When I plugged in Ethernet, it would automatically now and then just go, oh, disable it. And I'm like, why does it keep doing that? You know, and it drove me crazy. Because I kept blaming the motherboard ACES going, what's going on? Why do you keep shutting down this, that, and the other? And they're like, that's not us. You know, make sure your drivers are updated, you know, the usual stuff. And I'm like, yeah, they are. First thing
you hear that, and then you also hear, like, well, is your internet connection good? Maybe that's why.
That's it. Yeah, maybe it's your ISP.
Dude, if I'm rocking 1,000, I don't expect, you know, those problems.
Exactly. You
know, I do see a handful of IT guys out there on the internet, too, that are all saying that they think they should just drop 11 already and move on to 12.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get through some of the issues or whatever. So,
yeah, get rid of the bloatware. Get rid of all the nonsense that you keep giving us. Even, you know, we paid for Windows 11, those who have. We don't need it. We don't want it. Get rid of that stuff. We had that Windows 10.
I would have stuck with 10 of them, but then they started saying that 10 is going to be they're not going to support 10 anymore in another few months. So I'm sitting there going, like, well,
yeah,
okay.
We haven't got long left. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I still like that. Remember how long it was when people stuck with XP before they went to 10?
Yeah.
A long time.
I was one of them.
I was too. I didn't go, you know, right away. But 10 did do a trick. It was really good. I got to admit. It, you know, but 11 has not really been the so-called leap for me.
No.
You know, I mean, I would rather have kept 10, you know, but in a way, but I don't know.
Yeah, you really need to fiddle with Windows 11, get into the advanced Windows systems and play about with things. Check your power settings and all that, because that will interfere with quite a few drivers, especially now these days. I think they had one recently where it removed cameras.
Really?
Yeah. What else did it remove? I think it was cameras only, headsets, USB drivers.
I've been having camera trouble on mine ever since the last update. And it really seems that I didn't update the software for the camera. I didn't change any of that. You know, but the only thing that happened was a new Windows update. Now all of a sudden the camera gets funky. I mean, that kind of stuff gets me nuts because it was working fine, and now I've got to sit there and do. You know, I figured out how to fiddle with it to get it to, you know, back to working. But why should I have to do that because of a freaking update?
Absolutely, yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, updates are supposed to fix things and.
Yeah, not break other things, but they do anyway.
Yeah.
Crazy. Another hardware piece that we kind of touched on a few podcasts ago was the idea of the liquid-cooled PCs. We're not talking about the AIOs that go on your chip, but the full-blown liquid-cooled with the pipings and everything. And you used to see all these fancy liquid-cooled PCs at shows and stuff like that. And now it looks apparently that all that is kind of dying, and the companies that used to provide you the equipment for that are all, you know, pretty much suffering like a lot of major losses because no one is really interested anymore. And I think there was a variety of reasons from what I'm looking across the article. You know, one of them being the simple fact of building it, you know, is tedious. And if you don't get it right, you know, you could spring a leak, or you can get all kinds of water you got to clean up and start again. I think the maintenance factor, even though it's cool looking, the maintenance factor kind of took over at some point, to where now they're going like the AIOs are so good at cooling your chip, you don't really need to water cool anything else. Plus, a lot of the AIOs, like the one on my chip right now, has a little LCD display. So you see a little dragon on mine and the colors change. And I like dragons. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm, oh, that's pretty cool. You know?
That's so
like, yeah, so I really liked it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I agree though. I don't think that really there's many reason for it to go, you know, to sit there and spend that kind of money for something that, you know, really isn't that great anymore.
Yeah, I think it's more for aesthetics, looks rather than anything else.
Yeah, but you don't even see fancy computer rigs being built much with it anymore.
No,
they're starting to go away from it.
Yeah, either all in ones, just for the the CPU only. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I've never been a fan of liquid cooling. I just thought, you know, what's the point? You know, it's going to make my machine a lot heavier, especially if you were going to move it around to gaming shows, what have you. It's just, you know, and then when people are telling you, oh, you got to be careful, you know, if you're driving and you got your PC in there, all the vibrations will let your pipes loosen. Sure. So yeah, I think there was more flaws for me than there was any gain on that respect. I think it was just merely the looks to have it there. Ultra.
Was that a kind of thing where when you did transport it, you had to like wrap it in a bunch of bubble wrap for it to work right? Or what?
Yeah, pretty much. You have to like make sure everything's fine, or empty it before the shows, empty the reservoir, drain your pipes, yeah. And then when you get there early in the morning, if you do, then, you know, fill it up, make sure it's going around properly, which is the safest way to do it. I know someone may have had an issue where one of their pipes was loose and it was dribbling a little bit from one of their sides. Luckily, it didn't cause any damage to the machine. It was just off filter, so it wasn't touching anything important. Some of them do look really nice and look really great, you know, especially with I think somebody did like a dual color, where one was an ultraviolet color, the other one was like a dark vein type color to make it look like Resident Evil style, which looked really nice. I think that was about it. Everything else just nah.
Well, the other thing that I thought was, well, it was cool looking, but I could see where problems would come is when they started putting in all that glitter and stuff.
Oh, yeah, know, that's just going to block things.
Yeah, and with the water, and I'm sitting there going like, whoa. Like,
problems?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, problems isn't the least of it. If all that glitter gets around, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
What's all glitter isn't always gold.
I like that. That's a good
one.
There
you go. Yeah, yeah.
We wanted to talk about another little piece that's a hardware, and I'm again, I apologize because trying to prepare for this was not easy today. But I am going to play a little something here where we'll be able to see a new product called CyberBrace. So I will go ahead and play that, and you can all take a quick peek at this, and let's see if this all goes down properly. Hold on. Let's try.
Gamers, PC builders, creators, we all know the frustration of GPU sag, that slow drooping that can damage your graphics card and motherboard and ruin the look of your rig. Introducing the CyberBrace, the ultimate solution to keep your graphics card secure and your build looking flawless. But here's where it gets really exciting. The CyberBrace features an LCD display that functions as a second screen. Plug it into your GPU and it transforms into a live feed of your performance stats, game data, or even your own custom graphics or animations. The CyberBrace isn't just about function, it's about form too. Made in the UK from high-grade aluminum, it's designed to stand out and keep your GPU firmly in place. You can also customize the CyberBrace with interchangeable magnetic faceplates for that extra personal touch. Stability, style, a second screen, and no GPU sag. Check it out now and elevate your rig. Launching soon on Kickstarter.com. Just search for CyberBrace. That's CYBRBRACE to get notified on launch.
And there we go.
That looks awesome. I was seeing that on Kickstarter. I was going to say, ooh, that's on Kickstarter.
And some of you couldn't see it because it run audio, but you kind of got the gist when you heard the audio. But basically, it's a new product from the company's called Cyber, C-Y-B-R. And the first product that they're putting out through Kickstarter to launch it is a cyber brace. And basically what it is below your card. A lot of cards are so big and heavy that they tend to sag. And they will end up sagging so much that they could break the pieces on the PCIe board. I've seen these things happen. I'm sure you have. And what it does is it mounts right underneath it, taking up a PCIe slot, but right underneath the card to hold it up. One of the first things I thought about when I saw this is I was going like, well, what happens if your card is a little off? How do you get it to fit snugly? And one of the things I thought was great is that it has a height adjustment, so you can actually adjust the height to a certain point on this brace so that it braces up and right up against your graphics card. It looks really good next to the graphics card, as you might have seen in some of the pictures, or you can go to Kickstarter and look for Cyber Brace. And it has a second screen, which is kind of cool because built into this, it's almost like imagine another graphics card in there, except one faceplate is facing you. And in that faceplate, you can put almost anything that you can on a second screen if you really wanted to. But obviously, it's really mostly meant to put in stats for your motherboard and chip, and the heat and anything else you want to put as far as stats go in. But the cool thing is you can use little programs like Ada and Rainmeter and a couple other programs and make it basically customized to whatever you want. Again, if you take a look or look back on our YouTube video, you'll see the commercial. But basically, the other things, by the way, just in case you're interested, it's easy to install. It goes in a PCI slot, basically. It has two screws, just like you would be mounting anything else to a PCI slot. It has only two cables. One's an HDMI, obviously, and one is a SATA power cable. And they include both cables, will come with it. Height adjustment I already told you about. It reduces the GPU slag, second screen. I mean, all these things are really amazing. Made in the UK, it's made out of high-quality aluminum construction. It's an anodized black color, but it has magnetic faceplates. You can change the color to, red or green or whatever, which I thought was kind of neat if you didn't want to look at, just the black, right? Mm-hmm. On Kickstarter, the first 50 backers get an additional limited edition faceplate. Kickstarter 30% discount buying it on Kickstarter and to get that before it's released to the public. They will be shipping worldwide, and it also will be shipping in a Kickstarter exclusive packaging. So if you head out to Kickstarter.com and you put in Cyberbrace, that's C-Y-B-R-B-R-A-C-E. Again, that's C-Y-B-R-B-R-A-C-E. On Kickstarter.com and click the notify me launch on the notify me on launch button. You will be able to get notified when the product is coming out, participate if you wish, also get involved monetarily if you wish, etc. The social media campaigns have already kind of started. What we're doing for instance, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, YouTube. Just search Cyber, C-Y-B-R, and look for the green logo of their company and see what you think. Take a look, and we'll probably talk more about it on another one of our shows. But I just wanted to let you know out there that this pretty nifty piece. Let's put it this way. It looks a lot better than water cooling, and it's a lot easier to install.
And there's so much more things you can do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of having an extra screen. A bunch of times and just have,
Yeah, that's it. Make your funny faces on the screensaver part.
Or put some of your favorite movie stars talking to you while you're, you idiot. Absolutely.
Yeah. It'd be good as well, especially if you're doing games and you want to see what FPS your hits are going up. Instead of having an extra thing on your window and having to get distracted like
myself. Well, the nice thing, too, is that I used to run Ada to see some of my stats.
Yeah,
But you have to put it on a screen, or tuck it somewhere in the corner, or whatever, it would be. And I always thought, like, well, it'd be nice if I could just have it like somewhere else and I have to mess with it on my actual screen. And with this, you can, because a lot of us, including myself, I'm looking at it right now, is I have a glass side to my case. So having it in there, and I'm going to pick one up, I can just take a quick glance over there and see exactly all my stats without having to mess with the putting it up on the monitors and so forth. So, hey, I think it's great. You know, I can't wait till it comes out. It should be, you know, in the very soon. And we'll let you know and give you more information about it as it comes.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, I think you had a little news story about Xbox console or the new one or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, some people are going to be happy. Some people probably won't be. but yeah, there was an incident where Walmart, good on you, Walmart, accidentally released the new Xbox Series X, the digital edition, a few days before its official release date. Which is a shame. Oh, what shucks. This happened around October the 12th this year, which is a shame. A Redditor called Mikey Gwald was able to purchase one of these during his trip to Walmart, which is fantastic. Their early release caused quite a stir among eager fans and sparked quite a few decisions about the move. I think it's fantastic. They're calling it, what's it, the Robot White, because of the paint job.
Robust White?
Robot White.
Oh, robot white.
Not robust.
I was going to say.
How
do you know most robots are white? I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I want a dirty one, like that. All the dirty droids in Star Wars, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, let's do that one. What was that orange one?
Wait, I want to know if it was accidental or accidentally on purpose.
Accidentally could be. Yeah. I mean, it's only a few days before. I mean, it can't be that bad, you know. Let's get
did they sell like hundreds of these things before?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how many have been sold. Where there was just a few that they left out and went, oh, let's see, you know, what happens. but the Xbox Series Digital Edition featured a 1 terabyte SSD with a wonderful white job there. And they sold it for $449.99, I guess that would be. It's not every day hardware gets a release like that. So it's definitely an unusual situation. It'd be interesting to see how many people have actually grabbed one.
I want to know how many people grabbed them that early and then turned around that day and sold it on eBay for twice as much.
Could you imagine? Oh, my goodness.
By the way, I want to apologize. Zacho Boy is out there. He just
hello,
put
Zach.
A chat in. He said that he's watching. Thanks, guys. He was mentioning cyber and he said he wants one.
Oh, absolutely. It looks fantastic. I want to know what the faceplate
is. He did add a question, which might maybe be more up your alley. He said, any suggestions for water damage?
Yeah, don't throw it in a pool.
I think he meant it after he throws it in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing, if you actually do get any of your hardware water damage like that, the best thing, you know, if you have isopropanol alcohol or 99% alcohol of anything that's really good that you don't want to drink, just whack it in there straight off. You'll have more chance of it surviving. It'll hopefully burn off the water, remove those parts. It'll be so much better for it. Get some.
Zach, if it gets wet, though, is it? Well, let's assume that it got wet with something that's not corrosive, you know. But if you just simply leave your computer out to dry for like days, is that good enough?
It depends on the damage of the water, how long it's been in water. Luckily, Zach, you are very lucky that. Your missus is fast and can catch this thing. You know, it depends. I think the short amount of time that it has got any liquid damage like that, just get it sorted, get it dried out. Don't use rice.
That was the next question. What about rice?
No, don't use rice. Rice will just get into the bits and bobs. It's going to Well, it's going to create more problems.
Really? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeasty stuff. Don't do it.
That's good to know, because a lot of times people, that's the first thing they think of. They go like, oh, yeah, rice. I've always heard that.
Yeah, no. And don't directly put it in heat, on heat, on a radiator. Give it a gap. Put a tea towel down at the bottom so it captures some of the water. But just off of the heater. Just a bit.
What about taking like an air can to try to blow the water out of it?
No, because that comes with its own thing. If you had like some electricians, they'll have like a jet, you know, a pressure washer, but instead of using water, it actually is using isopropanol alcohol.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And they don't have to turn off the power or anything. They're just spraying this thing to clean it up so it doesn't create any issues. So that's your best.
So if you had a way to get high pressure alcohol to spray in there, that would probably be the best then.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%.
I didn't think about that. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Best thing to do as well is probably disconnect what cables you have. Do not touch it until it's dry. Don't even try going, oh, you know, it's been a few hours. Let me test it out now. Just keep it out there. Just keep it drying.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
That's it. Yeah. Keep an eye on that motherboard. See if there's any damages. See if there's any corrosions happening there. Definitely do it that way. I think for yourself, I think it was just the power supply that got the brunt of it, and the graphics card. So luckily we had.
Was that the recent one you were talking about fixing?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, this is the one.
Oh, really?
He's the one. He's the one who did it.
I didn't know it was that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was him.
That's funny.
I know. I wasn't going to say anything, but I was like, you know
and
what?
He seriously dropped it in a hot tub?
Yeah, yeah.
How? Oh, no, I want to know how, Zach. How did this happen?
He was trying to get to, was it the hot tub time machine type of thing, I think?
Yeah.
Maybe that's but,
was he like walking with the computer and just kind of, oops, and he fell in or what?
Yeah, yeah, more than likely, yeah. Oh, let me just move this over here.
Was the pool salt water or chlorine?
Yeah. I think it was, what was it? Just normal. I think they had probably bleach, chlorine in it. So yeah, I think chlorine probably helped a little bit as well. So
I'm amazed you got it working again. I mean, it's all better.
It's all better. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I can only guess because I haven't seen Zach play on it. So who knows? But yeah.
What you should do is you should call him on the phone when he first tries to play on it. If you hear him go,
smoke coming out of his ears.
Exactly. Let him go know.
Yeah, but we did run it. I think we had to do. Did we reinstall Windows? We did, didn't we? We got like a re-imaged it for them as well, and we turned it on. It seemed to be working. They did that bit on their own. I was on the phone on the other side, looking through. What's it? FaceTime.
Yeah.
So
keep talking. It does work. I'm letting my dog back in. Keep talking.
Sure. Yeah. Let me see what. Everybody wants to know if you're going to talk about Astrobot. Astrobot.
All right, I'm back.
Great. What do you know about Astrobot?
Astrobot? Astrobot. Not much.
It's a new game that's coming out on the... what was it? What machine is it? It's on the PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah. That PlayStation. I heard of. Yeah. That part, but...
Absolutely. So,
is that a newer version of older games?
I think it is, yeah. I'm just having a look here now because I remember liking once this. Yeah.
I think the original Astrobot was a long time ago.
It was.
If I remember right. Are you trying to get it up real fast now?
I am now, yeah. Since Bertie wants it up, he gets it up. All right.
You want me to work on my next article thing here or while you do it? Or?
yeah. Go to the next one and then we'll come back to this Astrobot.
Sure, there you go, problem. Bertie. I'm in the mod corner again this week. Didn't have really much to say last week, but I do this week. There is a mod out there called The Witcher 3 HD. When it first came out a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, it really made a difference on a lot of aspects of Witcher 3. And these modders have decided to create The Witcher 3 HD Reworked. And they've went in there and changed a lot. They tried to use all next-gen capabilities on the game. And apparently they've gone through a lot of it with all the different textures and things that have come from the program. And I've seen some of it, and I was like, pretty impressed on how good some of this stuff looked. I may be able to get the trailer up. I'll try in a second, but it really looks wonderful. The textures are so much better and brought up to such a degree that it's just pretty stunning, you know, I think. So I think it's something, if you want to take a look into it or possibly pick up on it, you want to look at the modding, go to Nexus. You can probably find it there. And that's the Witcher 3 HD rework. We'll talk more about it in the future, but modding is we like to cover modding here when we can, because I have played around with modding quite a bit, not making the mods, but using the mods that other people created. And basically it's really another whole world of what you can do, with the game sometimes, especially games like Starfield. There's been some really nice mods that people have made for Starfield that have got that game going. And I will talk in the future where there has been some mods out there that have improved on older games that we've all liked. There's a mod out there that has done a lot of work on Far Cry 5. And I believe they did one on Far Cry 4 as well. And I was really impressed with what I saw. So when you can bring an older game more to life, through the modding, you feel like you want to play it again, whereas a lot of times you play it once and, you know, you don't want to play it again. But two of the biggest games that are modded all the time happen to be Skyrim and you know, Witcher 3. But there's a lot of other games out there as well. And sometimes when you're looking at a mod, you just want something simple. It could be like really annoying cutscenes at the beginning of a game that you don't want to see over and over again every time you start the game up. Could be some simple mod that you could load in there, and that's it. The mod just kills all that, and it goes right into the game. So sometimes it could be something very simple like that, or it could be something where you're looking at it going like, wow, it was such a great game. I wish somehow, you know, the graphics could be overhauled. And that's probably one of the more famous or popular mods around, is the graphics and the UI. So everything that's quality of life, and everything that on the graphics side that looks good, is the number one mods usually. There's other silly mods where it turns, you know, everybody into big heads and stuff like that. And if you like it, cool. But there's, you know, much better mods out there that do a bunch of different things. So in any case, we'll go back to Matt now, who's going to talk a little bit about what we were just speaking on. Were you able to get anything there, Matt?
I did, yeah. So I was trying to find out when the first release of Astrobot was. It was only in 2020. I thought it would be the 80s that we came up with that type of thing.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot longer.
Yeah, absolutely.
People were thinking Astro Boy. Remember Astro Boy?
Astro Boy, that was it, yes.
That was a long time ago. Very long time ago.
Yeah, so yeah, Astrobot coming out on the PS5. Is done by Team Asobi, and it's going to be released. Supposed to be released September, apparently. So this game. Sorry,
not coming to PC too, or no?
No, just a PS5 exclusive for now. Till they wake up.
Modders port it over.
Yeah, there we go. You know what's going to happen. So adorable little bot, looks gorgeous. Little supersized space adventure that goes across 50 diverse worlds. The game leverages a DualSense wireless controller, haptic feedback, so you have to use the whole of the controller, not just the little lefts and rights like I would be doing, and the adapter triggers to help with the immersive experience. It's got amazing, crisp, stunning graphics of 4K, very vibrant, very colorful, that brings this bot to life. There's 6 galaxies, 80 levels, offering a mix of platforms, challenges, and battles.
Wait a minute, 6 galaxies? Is that what you said?
6 galaxies, yeah.
Well, each galaxy should take at least 25 years to play through. I mean,
yeah, pretty much. That'll keep going until he gets up to college and builds another game. Hopefully, part of the VR world. There we go.
That's right. It'll have a legacy, all right.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so you got your mix of platform challenges and battles. The game has been very well received by a lot of people, including myself. My kid wants to buy it as well. But he wants me to get the PS5 for it.
You know, you'll be buying it and playing it, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to try and distract
him. And we'll get to hear all about it.
Thanks. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, Bertie, make sure your daddy gets it. Buy it for him. It's not just for Christmas. It's for life.
That's right. It's not just for your kids anymore.
Yeah. It's for peace and quiet. So you can have a drink. There you go.
That's good. So I'll have to look forward to that one.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Just to tell you a couple things, Trev should be coming back next week. He's going to cover, among other things that we're going to do, of course, is the new Destiny mobile game. We're not going to do the EGP gaming quiz this week because it's a little hard to do with only two of us.
And I know all the answers.
Yes, and you know, it just doesn't work. So it's better when all three of us can be here. So we'll kind of hold off on that and do that probably next week. Again, EGX is coming up, so Matt and Trev might be, you know, phoning it in live.
And Zekaboy as well, if he lets us know what he's doing.
From the hotel room. So yeah. It might be an interesting podcast next time with all that. So we'll see, you know, we'll see how that goes. But we appreciate you, as always, coming into the show and watching. All you people out there across all the socials that we're broadcasting to, we all appreciate. Please get onto YouTube and like and subscribe our videos, including our shorts that we put up a lot. And the video fancier version of the podcast you're watching and or listening to right now. So check that out. And basically we'll be seeing you next week and we'll say our goodbyes as usual and take care everybody. See you on the next show.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start.